Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, I've said as a minister, as the Bible speaks about the heart, and many times, and he speaks it in the perspective of like soil. You know, you think of some hard, some when the seed goes on it, it lays on top of the ground. They don't get a root, and the sun scorches it out, foul, and the birds of the air come. So we see it being compared to a soil, something to be sown into. Well, you know, when you are looking at hearts and trying to perceive the condition of a man's heart, I could say as a minister that in many times when you find yourself in a funeral perspective or where people are broken and mourning over the loss of a loved one, that you find soil that's usually been conditioned a bit, that they could receive some word. So God has his way in all things. And it would be of the time of a loss of one, could be a time of another receiving life. I had a good friend, and I was in the world, in the mischief and the frolics of the world, the ignorance of the world. And as we were fishing one night, staying out on a river all night, doing the things that heathen and worldly people do, drinking, I'd left over, way over in the morning hours, if I could be at work in the next morning. I went to work the next morning, and it was just about a quarter mile away from where we were fishing at. And my friend drowned in the river that morning. And as the sheriff come over, they sent for me over at the where I worked at. They sent over for me to come and identify this man as when they found him and dragged him out of the water. You know, it's sad to see someone that was a friend with no life in him, no breath in him, come out from a Pentecostal home, raised up in a Pentecostal way, and went off into the world. He may have shortened his number of days. Maybe by the mercies of God, he brought him in. But then yet God's a just God if he put him in hell. Same with you and I. He's a just God. I say so oftentimes. Who are we to find fault with God if he has one vessel to honor or another to dishonor? He's an awesome God. But I could think when I went to this young man's funeral, I guess there didn't need to be anybody else there. His family was there mourning, his sisters and brothers. I was there and watched his sister collapse when they dragged him out of the water, the scuba divers. And they asked me to identify him. I was there to see him mourn at their funeral and different things. But as I said, I think it wouldn't have mattered if I was the only one there because the preacher was talking to me the whole service. It wasn't too much time prior to that. I buried another good friend. And I started thinking, you know, this death is a reality. I started realizing that it wasn't just for old people. I started realizing that it wasn't just old people that had, you know, lived out their life that was being put in boxes. As I've expressed in times past, I've seen these boxes made for little infants, little babies. Some never even had the privilege to walk, talk. Never said mommy, never said daddy. But death's no respecter. I've seen it take little ones. It has no respect of size. As my dad mourned as he stood at the side when he was burying his son, my mother had him cremated before anybody could do or anything. He said, I can't believe this is my 6'6" boy in this little jar. As he mourned, as he dug the hole to put him in the ground. You know, it's no respecter of size, length, no respecter of weight. I've heard him having to bury him in piano cases because they were so big. And then yet I've seen him wither away into little frail things that was hardly nothing. Death is running a course. I know what the Bible teaches us. The Lord Jesus said that the last enemy of God to be conquered is death. Some would think that it's not conquered as I'm speaking like I am speaking this evening about people dying. You'd say, well, it's not conquered yet. No, that's not the truth. Death has no hold on us, can't touch us, can't get near us when we're sons of God. It can't even get close to us. But again, people don't understand death. So oftentimes we speak about it. We all hear so oftentimes about a great man of God named Brother George Pike. Some would say, well, he's dead now. If he's dead, it violates the scriptures and the word of God. Or if we think that Paul's dead now, or Brother Branham, see, it would violate the scriptures. Talks about the patriarchs of old and talks about these forefathers that went on before us, went to sleep. Some would say it's just a fancy terminology between words, that it's just You know, well, you know, you can say whatever you want. You can call him asleep. You can say he's dead. I don't care what you say. The dude ain't breathing, man, and he ain't got no color left in him. You can call it whatever you want, preacher, but he ain't here no more. But see, sometimes you just simply don't understand. You can have a man in your presence or a woman in your presence with a big smile on their face, excited about life and excited and thrilled and dancing and singing and shouting, and you're observing death. You're looking at something that's dead, has no life. Even though it seems to have a temporal manifestation, it would look like an exuberance and a zeal, and it would almost look like a joy of life, but then yet it's dead. If they could look at the end of the matter and see what the conclusion is and know it's damnation, they wouldn't have all that zip and zeal and joy. I can think of times past about things that men sell their soul for. As we think of Esau in the scriptures, we think, well, you know, what kind of fool's this? Going to sell his birthright for a bowl of stew, we may say, for expression's sake? What kind of fool would that be? But when you think of all of eternity, of either entering into a rest with the Lord Jesus Christ through all of eternity, I mean, where there's just numbers and days and seasons and times mean nothing, and you think that you would even take a chance of losing that for the gains of this world, if it gain this whole world and lose your soul, it profits you nothing, the Bible says. We think about the things that would hinder life, that would hinder our relationship with God, that would possibly cut us off from God. Is it worth it when we could look and think of what eternity is? You know, I could remember expressing to you, if a man came up and handed you a briefcase and said, look, there's $1 million in it. I want you to wait right here for 5 minutes and I'll split it with you. Don't try to run because you'll get none of it. I've got people and security all around here. But I'll just hold this for 5 minutes. Don't move from this spot. The guy takes off. You look at your watch and you're counting down to five. About 2.5 minutes into it, your old buddy comes up. Hey, what's happening? Hey, come here a second, man. Look at this. Could you wait about 2.5 more minutes, please? Come on, man. Come here. You think, well, what kind of fool, we may use for an expression, would take off? Now we're talking 5 minutes for $1 million. You're thinking, man, I'm not moving. Hey, buddy, you can wait. It's good to see you, but you just stick over there. So the guy comes back and he's over there fellowshipping with his buddy. You think, well, what kind of crazy rascal is this? And see, that's something you could perceive and comprehend. It would seem crazy. 5 minutes, $1 million. What about 50 years versus all of eternity? What about 100 years versus all of eternity? I mean, if you say 5 minutes, $1 million, that doesn't even comprehend in the realms of what this short, miserable life is compared to all of eternity. Why would we gamble with this life? Why would we take a chance with this temporal life of all of eternity? What is the requirements for eternal life? You know, if we look at it that way. Well, you're bringing it to an action, Brother Robin, to works, that there must be some kind of a works. If there's something we can do to gamble with this eternity, then you're bringing it to a works. You see, when people cross up. You see, the religious people have a truth. And the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, so no man can boast. But we take scriptures out of context, and we don't really go line upon line. And so oftentimes we take a scripture as such, and we think, hey, you know, it's by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you make no effort whatsoever to apply yourself or to apply works in your life. I've heard both sides of it, looked at both sides, and analyzed both sides. And they're both right. So which one are you going to do? Which one are you going to be? I'm going to testify the works of Christ, the grace of God, the mercies of God, the long-suffering of God. I'm going to testify that it's by His works, not my own, and that He sealed me in and hid me away. But I'm also going to testify to the fact that whoever I yield my members to are who I'm of, and making that calling and that election sure. There is a responsibility and a requirement on each and every one of us. But I got the Bible open here in the book of Romans. Let's read here a little this evening. Appreciate the brotherhood, labors, endeavors, and efforts. And I can tell you one thing, there's a reward in all labor. And when you do something as unto the Lord, when you do it, you can expect and ask God to look your direction, and He'll start and has been opening up the floodgates of heaven and blessing. Amen. Do you believe the word of God? Amen. Amen. That's what we got to stay with, and we got to believe that. We say, well, it's been kind of tough. You know, since Obama come in, it was getting tough before he got here. But it's been kind of tough, you know, the economic crisis and different things. I say, yeah, that's when we better lean to the Word more and more, not to business, not to occupation, not to skill, not to ability, not to builders, not to the community, but to God. And sow and give and expect and trust and let Him make a way, and He will. He's an awesome God. You love the Lord? We'll just go here to the first verse of the chapter 8 in Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, I deal with a lot of people, and we're going to read on here a little bit, but I deal with a lot of folks that understand the Scriptures, and they preach some revelational truths, or they talk about them. And they go through life saying, hey man, you know, there's no condemnation in Christ. How many of you heard that before? I've heard it many times. And I look at them and they're drunks, adulterers, fornicators. Oh, they got some revelational truths. They've heard the Word of God. They may have sat under an anointed preacher. And they'll say, oh, man, there's no condemnation. But there's no condemnation in them. And it's not because they walk after the Spirit like it says here. It's because their mind has been seared over with a hot iron. That's why they say there's no condemnation. They'll say that, but they're condemned into eternal damnation. You see, the condemnation, brothers and sisters, it says if we walk in Christ, there is no condemnation if we walk after the Spirit. Do you know that when Paul was speaking, he said he fought with beasts at Ephesus? Do you think he was fighting with bears or gorillas or, you know, what was he fighting with? He was fighting with man. Beast. You see, we got to understand what a beast is. Now, we deal with men that have no conscience. They're a beast. And you say, well, that's not nice. That's not polite. Well, I just got to stay with the Word of God. Jesus called them pigs, swines. Well, that man ain't no swine or a pig. He's a man. I believe the Lord Jesus. The swine goes back to the marlin rolling in it, doesn't he? The dog returns to its vomit. That's what the Bible says. We got to stay with the Scriptures and the Word. We don't want to be offensive, but the Bible said the minister's rude in speech. And there's many people, brothers and sisters, that would be numbered in the beast realm. Let's talk about our wonderful God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that He came in the image of the beast. And you say, oh, wait a minute, you can't say that, Brother Rob. I'm just telling you what the Word of God talks about, okay? It was the image. That's why we don't know Him after the image that He came and walked among men in. It says we don't know Him after the flesh no more. Why? Because the flesh is the beastly image. And He came in the image of man. Beastly image. He came in the image of man, took it to the cross of Calvary, and it was smitten for our iniquities, that we could receive life, abundant and eternal and holy. Amen. Now, I wouldn't speak against the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you again what the Bible says. The Son of Man, the Son of God. He made Him twain. Made Himself two. Both Lord and Christ. Both Son of Man and both Son of God. So we have to differentiate and make Him twain. And He came in the image of the beast. And He took that image to the cross of Calvary. Some would say that God died on the cross of Calvary. Well, who lied to you and told you that? God is the Prince of Life. He can't die. What went to the cross of Calvary was the Son of Man. And that image was smitten and killed and resurrected. We don't know Him after that image. And when He resurrected, the Bible says He resurrected in another form. The Bible teaches that there is a spirit flesh and there's also a mortal flesh. When this body goes through the metamorphosis, when this body goes through the change, when this body goes through the transfiguration, you might call it the rapture. There's no word in the Bible that says rapture. We use the term. But it's to with the redemption of the body or the transfiguration, when it goes through this metamorphosis or through this change, it is no longer made with hands. It is no longer this mortal flesh. It is no longer terrestrial flesh. It's now celestial. It's spirit flesh. This is how we are because we're numbered in the resurrection. We are the children of the resurrection. You understand that? Jesus Christ, when He walked among them before He was resurrected, they said, when He was speaking to Lazarus and Mary, God says, are you speaking about in the resurrection? Because He said that Lazarus is not dead. He was living, but he stinks by now. He said, I am. He said, I am the resurrection. You see, now why did he, how could he speak like that? Because he knew who he was. Who are you? Who are you tonight? You see, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the high priest of our profession. So how do you profess tonight? Let me tell you, there's churches that are teaching our people professions that'll put them in hell. They're teaching them from the sacred desk in churches, doctrines that'll put people in hell. I'm sorry to say that. They're being taught in their churches that they're sinners and they sin every day. Who wants a profession that they're a sinner? Does anybody in here want to confess or profess tonight? Hey, Brother Rob, I'm a sinner. If you're going to profess that to me, I'm going to open up the altar and say, please, get into these altars for you can repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to put them as far as the east is from the west, that he could bury them in the sea of forgetfulness, that you could become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things will pass away, that old sin nature, that old sin man pass away, and that you could be this new creature in Christ Jesus that's hid away in Christ, sealed in and hid away. I was a sinner, but I'm no longer a sinner. I was a sinner. Now I'm a saint of God. I'm born of God. And you say, well, you can't say that. I surely can say that. The Bible says that. The Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. That's what it says, doesn't it? I can turn you there and show it to you. It says that you can't sin. Why, Brother Rob? Because his seed remaineth in me and keepeth me from sin. And it goes on right there in the same passage of scriptures. It says, ye that sin are what? Exactly, you're of the devil. Why would I ask you to come to this church and tell you that Jesus Christ is the high priest of your profession and then tell you to profess that you are of the devil? I'm not going to do that. I'm not of the devil. Why are you not of the devil, Brother Rob? Because I'm born of God. I'm born again. What is this born again talk that you all talk about? Is it just some kind of a ritualistic? If a mother wants to bring forth a child into this world, she knows that this child's going to have to be born. You know, she could walk around talking about it, but you're going to know when this child's born. Is that correct? You're going to know that this child has been born into this world. Well, when you've been born again, we're going to know about it. Because you're going to have the Spirit of God. Without His Spirit, the Bible says you're none of His. Without His Spirit, you're none of His. So the thing is we got to receive His Spirit. How do we receive His Spirit? By that seed that enters in. You see, if we talk about a natural birth, you can understand that, can't you? I could say a man and woman, they marry. They enter into the marriage covenant, the marriage relationship. The blood seed of a man leaves the loins of the man and goes into the womb of the woman. And we find a child that comes forth in this. The woman starts pressing out. We understand that. But what about being born in the Spirit? It's the same thing. It's the seed of God, the seed of Christ that enters in. We're the bride of Christ. You see, you look at me and say, brother, you're a man. I say, yay and amen. I understand that, but I'm the bride of Christ because he said he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So I better somewhere understand that I'm a bride. Well, what are you, brother? Are you a man or are you a woman? What is it? Well, you know, this is why we got to differentiate. He made himself both Lord and Christ, both son of man, both son of God. I make myself both the bride of Christ and the son of God. Well, which one are you? The Bible said, now ye are the sons of God. Hey, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Well, how can you be a son of God and a bride of Christ? You see, this is why we have to differentiate the Word of God. We got to learn to differentiate and make ourselves twain. As I said here, my father sits back here, and you say, well, I know who your father is. I know what year you was born. I know this and that. But I could say I had no beginning nor no end. Well, you can't say that. You're a man. Well, Jesus said it. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, you can't think that way. He told me to. He said, let that mind be in me. Are you just religious? Are you dying and going to hell? Or are you going to believe the word of God? Is he the high priest of your profession? You better start professing him to be your God. You better start professing him to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You better start believing what he said. I pass from death unto life. I cannot die. You see, Jesus didn't do his job if I die. If I die, Jesus did not die on the cross of Calvary. I can't die. You understand that? Why can't you die, preacher? Because I pass from death unto life. I was already crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only death I'll ever die. I was crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It says that. That's what the brother said in Galatians. So why can't I say that? God's no respecter of person. He was the firstborn of many brethren. I'm a son of God, a child of God. I'm born again. I can say the same thing. Can you say the same thing? Is that your profession? If it's not your profession, then you're lost and you're going to die and go to hell. You see, when does eternal life begin? Well, someday, you know, the eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll and we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not coming for you then. He's coming back to the Jew then. He's already came to you and I, or his word's a lie. Tarry there in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. The Bible tells us that he came back in 10 days, didn't it? Did he come? Amen. Do you believe the word of God? Amen. He came. Didn't he come? Amen. And they were filled with the power of God. How many of you came in the name of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Oh, I got at least three of you.
Amen.
So where's he at? Is he coming someday or is he here now?
He's here now.
He's here. He is the God of now. He is the I am. He's not the God that was or the God that's going to be. He is the now. He is the I am. Yes, he was, he is, and he is to come. But you better know him now as he is. And he is God. I want him now. The Bible said if you don't believe that God is, if you don't believe that God is, if you don't believe that God is in the flesh, then you're Antichrist. Oh, but the Antichrist is going to show up over here in the Middle East. I'm mocking a little bit. He's going to come over here in the Middle East someday. The Bible says that there's many antichrists among us. Isn't that what it says?
Amen.
Why do we always get these religious ideologies and walk around believing a lie like a man running and beating at the air? Let's get real with God and let's get in his word.
Amen.
What is death? Well, if we go on down here just a little bit farther, let me just read down there to it. Verse 2, it says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So we got two laws here. Do you see that? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Oh, wow. He sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's that beast image I was speaking about. In the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit or are you led by the flesh? That's how you know who you are of. Amen? If you're walking after the flesh, your father's the devil, my Bible says. That's why we stay away from fleshly things and carnal things. The Bible says, come out of the world. Be ye a separate people. Is that what it says? So does that mean we're supposed to be out here in the sports and the ball fields and the dance halls? No, come out of that mess. Amen? Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. So what are we talking about? We're talking about death. The Bible said the last enemy of God was death. The last enemy to be conquered is death. Some don't think that's been conquered yet. If Jesus didn't do it when he was here, it'll never be done. And he's done it, it's completed, it's finished. When he hung his head on that cross of Calvary, he said something. He said, it is finished.
Amen.
He's completed the work. It's done. Death is conquered, it's finished, it's done away with. That's why I can't die. Now if I could die, then Jesus' word is a lie and it's not true. But I believe his word. He said, I passed from death unto life. I'm hid away in God. Nothing could be laid to my charge. I'm hid away and sealed in. That's what he says. There's no condemnation to them who are walking after the Spirit. Well, you're teaching a doctrine, preacher, that if what you're saying is right, then we could just live in this world and there's no sin and we could just live like a dog and a devil. Well, you can live like a dog and a devil because that's what you are. Sons of God don't live like dogs and devils. They've come out of the world. They're a separate people. They've received the spirit of righteousness and holiness. The Bible said without his spirit, you're none of his. If you have his spirit, you have the spirit of holiness, the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of power, the spirit of God. He said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. He didn't say endued with weakness of the flesh. He said endued with power. You know, when we think of Peter, he denied the Lord. He said, you'll deny me twice. This was a man that wasn't endued with power yet.
But then we find that man endued with the power of God, the Holy Ghost. And he stood before me and said, this Jesus Christ in whom you crucified. He had the power of God in him. You see, he's no different today. When you're filled with the power of God, you walk in the demonstration of the Spirit of God, the power of God. You're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You've got your head held up high because you're full of life, amen, and you're leading other people into the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't want to be some lukewarm lay out of the CMD vomit. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to walk in the power of his salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord tonight? Yeah. Let's get real with God. Amen. Let's realize what his word says. So we find here that the carnal mind is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So how did I pass from death unto life? Because I received the mind of the Spirit. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches us. We got to transform our mind into the mind of Jesus Christ. We want him to be the high priest of our profession. That's why we don't go around professing that we're sinners. Yes, we confess that we were sinners, and we confessed our sin, and we passed from death unto life. We repented of our sins, and they were put away and done away with. And now we're born again sons of God that can't sin. Just read it in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. It says, ye that are born of God cannot sin. I'm not up here teaching some funky doctrine. I'm not up here teaching you some kind of new age trash. I'm teaching you the Bible. Amen. Ye that are born of God cannot sin, because if you sin, the sin is the sting of death. The Bible said the transgression of the law is sin, and the sting of sin is death. But I passed from death unto life because that law was done away with by the works of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when he done away with that law, he done away with sin. And when he done away with sin, he done away with death. That's why I'm eternal, hid away in Christ. Amen. Amen. See, we got to know who we are. We got to know who we are in Christ. And we got to change our profession. You know, I had don't misunderstand me, but I had this Baptist man come to me. And he says, well, sir, he says, you know, healing was for the day back when Jesus was here and stuff. And he goes, you know, healing isn't today. It's not for today. And I said, you're absolutely right, sir. You know why I told him that? Because that's his profession and he's right. God will not heal him. God cannot heal him because he professed that God cannot heal him the day that he quit doing that. My Bible says my God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and to every generation. Amen. He was a healer then. He's a healer now, brothers and sisters. Amen. That's my profession. So you know what? He's a healer to me. But to that Baptist man, he said he don't heal no more. And he doesn't because he professed that. He give him the fruit of your thoughts is what the Bible says. If you don't think God's a healer, he's not to you. But he is to me because I know he is. Amen. If you don't think your God is powerful enough to give you the power to endure forever, he won't. Amen. But my God gave me the power of the Holy Ghost that I can endure to the end. The Bible said you know that they're saved because they endure to the end. It's not because they confess Jesus. It's not because they ask him in their heart. It's not that. It's because they got the enduring power of the Holy Ghost. That's life and that's salvation. Amen. That's what we got to have. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Aren't you glad that God's real? Amen. I'm so thankful that God is alive and he's well and he's real. Amen. I thank God I'm not serving some God that was here 2,000 years ago and now all of a sudden, where's he at? He said he's never left us nor forsaken us. You know, but they say, oh, I can't wait till the Lord comes. Oh, you know, some day's coming for us. The Bible said a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. Oh, but he's coming for us someday. He's already come. He's here. He's now. He's I am. Well, brother, come on, man. You know, we know that he's coming back for the church. He's already come for the church. Amen. Or otherwise, his word isn't true. He's already come. When he comes back to this earth, it isn't for the church. Read your Bible. He's coming for the Jew. They had an earthly promise. They wanted an earthly kingdom. He's going to set them up a kingdom right here on this earth in Jerusalem. We're the spiritual Jews. We're in the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. We sing in the Spirit. Why? Because we're eternal in God. Amen. We had no beginning. We had no end. We were leaping for joy before the world ever was. I'm an ambassador for Christ, the Bible says. I'm not of this world. I come down here and condescended to men of a less estate. I like preaching. Is this okay? You say you can't talk like that. I'm a son of God. Why can't I? I'm living forever. Why can't I talk like that? I passed from death unto life. Why can't I talk like that? None could be laid to my charge. Why can't I talk like that? He's the high priest of my profession. I'm professing exactly what he told me to in his scriptures. Amen. You could profess that you're a sinner and go to hell. I'm professing that I'm full of life and the power of salvation. Amen. That he hid me away and I'm caught away into heavenly places. That's what my Bible says. You're looking for a rapture. I've done been caught away, sealed away and hid in with Christ. Amen. You say, you're crazy, preacher. You're telling me that rapture's already taken place? I'm just telling you what he said. He said that he's caught us away into heavenly places. What's the catching away? It's a rapture. I've done been raptured. You say, you're crazy, preacher. I'm telling you, I've been raptured. I've sealed in and hid away. Now, there's another rapture that's going to take place when this body goes through a metamorphosis. This body will be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the Thessalonian change. No, that rapture hasn't taken place yet. But let's talk about the one it has. Amen. Let's talk about being caught away in heavenly places. Let's talk about transforming our mind into the mind of Christ. I'm just trying to teach you how to think. Is that okay? You can talk about, man, someday we're going to get raptured. You know, man, I'll tell you what, it's going to be so awesome, man. We're going to be changed. Let me tell you something. You're going to have to go through a change of your mind first. You're going to have to die first and be crucified with Christ. How many of you in heaven tonight?
Amen.
I've been caught away and I'm dwelling in heavenly places, my Bible teaches me. Which heaven are you in? Are you in the first heaven? Are you in the second heaven? Or are you in the third heaven? Which one I'm asking you? We'll stay with the Bible. The Bible says, I don't know whether I was in body or I was in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven. Now, if he done it, can you do it? So if my spirit's been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, where's the kingdom of God? He said, my kingdom is without observation. That's what Jesus said. Yeah, they were looking for one with observation. He said, my kingdom's not with observation. So where's this kingdom at, Brother Rob? It's in the spirit. Where are you at? Well, if you're not in the spirit, then you're of the devil. According to the scripture, it said we walk in the spirit, we're led by the spirit, we pray in the spirit. Jesus said, though you have eyes, you don't see. He said, you need to see. Why did they not see? Because they were observing the temporal life, vanity world. The Bible said that this life is vanity, vexation of the spirit. This is the lie. What you see with your eyes is the lie. You need to see in the spirit. So where's heaven at? Where's Jesus at? Can anybody dispute with me that Jesus is in heaven? I think everybody believes that Jesus is in heaven, huh? Well, where's he at tonight? We came in his name and he's here. Well, he had to leave heaven. Oh, you think he left heaven? Did he leave heaven? Oh, yeah, he could do it just like that, man. He could translate. He could be here and be there and this and that. The Bible said we're encamped around a great cloud of witnesses. There's a spiritual world all around you. What is it? Where's it at? Where's heaven? Somebody said, well, it's up there. Where's it at to the guy in Japan? Is he going like this? Yeah, heaven's that way. Well, if the guy in Japan's on the other side of this round ball, I'll tell you what, if you're pointing this way, he's got to point that way. So which way is heaven? I'm just asking you. What about the guy over here on the other side? He's pointing that way. Yeah, that's outer darkness that way. They got the Hubble scope out there looking around. Heaven ain't out there.
Amen.
Well, where's it at, Brother Rom? My Bible said the kingdom of God is within. The rivers of living water come from within. Well, where's it at? He's dwelling in me. God's on his throne, living in me. I'm the temple of the living God.
Amen.
Can you believe those scriptures? Yeah, I know, but Brother Rob, if you're the temple of God, that means the people in heaven are in you. Jesus said, I'm in you, and you're within me, and I'm in the Father, and the Father's within you.
Amen.
What are you going to do with that? You better get spiritual to understand it. When you're drinking the blood of Jesus and eating his flesh, you need to understand the word of God. Because if you don't eat his flesh or drink his blood, you have no part in his kingdom. So you're telling me I got to be a cannibal preacher? No, you need to understand the Bible and the Word of God is what you need.
Amen.
I love the Word. Amen.
Amen.
I want to challenge you in the way you think. If you think like a man, it's carnal minded and it's death. The Bible said, my ways aren't your ways. That's what he says. Let's don't get religious and think like men. Let's think like God. Let this mind of Christ be in us. That thought of not robbery to be equal with God. You can't be equal with God. I can't. Please help me to understand that. Because he told me I could. He gave me everything that pertaineth unto life. Everything. He gave me everything. He held nothing back from me, he says. A man marries a woman, she comes equal with him. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm married unto him. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he gave me everything. I inherited the kingdom of God with no limitations. You say, oh, you can't talk like that. You can't talk like that because you're lost. I can talk like that because he's given it to me. I'm just telling you what he's done for me. I'm excited about my salvation. I'm excited about being born again. I'm excited because I'm living forever. I'm not waiting. I'm not from America. I'm not from this world. I'm from heaven. He sent me here to bring people into the liberties that we have in Christ. If you got an American hope and an American promise, it's fading away. It's falling. It's fading away. It's left its doctrines. I had a preacher come over from Africa that preached in our church. And he said, thank you, Americans, for sending evangelists to Africa. We were in doctrines of devils and we were lost. Thank you for sending evangelists over to our country and telling us about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he said, my God told me to come back over here because y'all lost now. And I need to come back over here and remind you about this Jesus Christ. America's to become a religious nation. Not true and undefiled religion. America's washing away in corruption. Fading away. You say it can't. America's a promised land. America's the great America. You know, it was blessed when these men crossed that great waterway and they came over here and fought against the Europeans and said, we're a blessed country. We were a blessed country, but we've turned to sodomy and filth and perversion and all the filth of it. And we got our pastors are nothing but hirelings. It's just an occupation and it's a job. America is fallen. It's fallen from the grace of God and the judgments are coming to America. Say, I don't know. I don't want to hear that. Israel didn't want to hear it neither. Can anybody deny that Israel is the chosen land? Can anybody deny that? Could anybody deny that Jerusalem is the city of them, the chosen place of God? No, we can't deny that. But my Bible said that Jerusalem has become spiritual Sodom. Why? Because God's departed there. If he done it to Jerusalem and he done it to Israel, the Bible says that Israel's committed adultery under every green tree. And if this is what's happened to Israel, God's elect people, what's happening to your nation? We're supposed to be the spiritual elect of God, but it's a pattern and it's running the same pattern over again. And it's come all the way down to it. The religious people crucified Jesus Christ, the Sanhedrin. And it's the religious vomit in America that's crucifying the Lord Jesus afresh today by denying his doctrines and his word of God. You preach like I preach tonight, they'll put you out. Jesus said, why are you taking up stones to stone me for the good works that I've done? He said, no, because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. And he said, but isn't it written that ye are gods? That's what Jesus said. Amen. You can't teach that, preacher. I sure can, because he taught it. He is the firstborn of many brethren, and I'm born of God. When I was born after that man sitting over there, I was born as a man. Now I make myself twain, both son of man and both son of God. Why are you a son of God? Because I've been born into the kingdom of God. And I've got a spirit in me crying, Abba, Father, because I got a heavenly Father, amen. And I'm born in the spirit of God. Amen. That's why. Let's get real. Know who you are in Christ. Now if I speak as a man or if I speak as a God, that's what we got to differentiate. I'm preaching to you. The Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but it's God speaking. Amen. He gave us the power. You read your Bibles. He gave us the power to remit sin. You say, oh, you can't do that. You better read your Bible. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ to show me where I'm wrong in this Bible. I challenge you in the name of the Lord. He said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sin. That's the last thing Jesus told us to do. That's what he said. Now, don't you think it would be somewhat important to listen to the last thing in the last commission he gave us? Go and remit their sin. It's the name of Jesus that does that. There's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. It is in Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the way. He is the door. He is the truth. He is the life.
Amen.
You can pray to Mary and go to hell. I'm telling you. Mary can't hear your prayers. She's not the mediator between God and man. The Bible says she'll be blessed and be spoken of in every generation. But we don't pray to her. She's not the mother of God. That's a lie. The Bible don't teach she's the mother of God. If she's the mother of God, we need to worship her. God had no mother, no father, no beginning, no end. Amen. When Jesus was walking among them, he was talking about before Abraham. He was. They say, you can't say that. That was so many hundreds of years ago. But I can say the same thing.
Amen.
You can't say that, preacher. I sure can. That's what the Bible said. I was leaping for joy before this world ever was. My Bible says that he put my name down in the book of life before this world ever was. He said we were leaping for joy then. You see, let's get in the Word. You're too natural. You're too carnal. You're too timely. Let's get in the Word. The Bible's real. Know who you are in Christ. That's what you need to do. You need to know who you are in Christ. I'm a son of God. You can't say that. Well, he said it. He told me that. He said, now ye are the sons of God. Beloved, now ye are the sons of God. The world don't see you of what you already are. That's what it says. It said the world don't see you that way. I'm not talking to the world tonight. I'm talking to the sons of God.
Amen.
They're yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. It says when you appear unto them, he said you're appearing of what you always were. So am I wrong to talk about being a son of God tonight? If you're born again, I'm born into his kingdom, so I'm a son of God. Well, Brother Rob, are you a bride of Christ or a son of God? I had to make myself twain. The bride part is the weaker part. It's the fleshly part. And it's been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus and made me pure, clean, and whole. Made me a virgin! And he took me into that upper room, hid me away, and sealed me in Christ. He hid me away. With him, took me into the marriage chamber. That's what husbands do. That's what brides. The Bible said that the woman saved in childbearing.
Amen.
You ever read that in Timothy? The woman is saved in childbearing. Okay, so God repented that he made man. He could have said, man, I'm going to wipe man off the face of the earth. But God could not reproduce his image if he done that. Do you understand that? The woman was in the transgression and the fall, not man. That's what the Bible says. So he could have said, all right, Eve, you wretched woman, and wipe her off the earth. But man couldn't reproduce his image. So the woman was saved in childbearing right there. But we come down to the next dimension. The first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, body, soul, and spirit. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Natural, physical, and spiritual. These are all biblical terminologies.
Amen.
So we got to find out where we're at. Well, are you a bride or are you a son? First, we're going to have to understand body, soul, and spirit. It's something that most people don't understand. Many ministers and theologians say, well, there's no difference between the spirit and the soul. Well, they're wrong. Some say, well, there's no difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Well, there's only one God, according to the Bible. So they're right in part. But when we differentiate it, there's a difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. There is a difference. The Holy Spirit had personified itself in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Personified as the personification or the person of God, Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel. And when this Spirit of God, the Father, the invisible Spirit to no man, I know you Catholics want to make three gods. You say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, which we teach. They say three person. Now remember now, that's Catholic, Catholicism. I used to teach that. And I wasn't a Catholic, but many of us Protestants taught that because it came out of the Nicene Council of 321 AD. We teach a doctrine that God in three persons. That's the devil, and it's a lie from hell. Nowhere in your Bible it says God's a three-person God. If he's a three-person God, we got three gods, and it denies the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible said that the Father is spirit that no man has seen, the invisible God, and it came and dwelled in the person of God. Jesus Christ is the person of God and the only person of God. Oh, are you a oneness preacher? No, I'm not a oneness. They're all messed up in their doctrine. I'm not a Trinity neither. They're all messed up in their doctrine, but they both have truths. The oneness are right and the Trinities are right in part, but they believe a lie. The Trinitarians said there is a Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. I teach that. But when I start teaching that there are three persons is when I get into Catholicism, the daughters of the great whore. So just stay with the Bible.
I'm not trying to offend nobody. I'm just telling you what I learned and had to come out of when I got my eyes opened up. Amen. I'm not trying to change nobody from their doctrines or from what they are. I'm just preaching the gospel. Amen. Prove me wrong in the name of Jesus Christ. Show me where there's three-person God. You don't see it in the scriptures nowhere. If you understand body, soul, and spirit, I'm a body, soul, and spirit. Somebody tell me I'm three persons. Am I three persons? Somebody tell me. I've got a spirit that's living in this body. And if this spirit leaves this body, the Bible said that body's what? Okay. But the spirit's not dead. It's alive with Christ. That's why I speak by the spirit. I'm not three persons. Why do we make God three persons when we say Father, Word, and Holy Ghost? The Bible said it was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary. And she conceived a child being a virgin. So then does that mean that the Holy Ghost is the Father? I'm just helping you out just a little bit. So what you going to do with that? It ain't a problem for me. Because I understand God. The Bible says this. I'm staying with the Word of God. It says, speaking of the Lord Jesus, said that He is the fullness. The fullness. The fullness. Are you listening? Of the Godhead bodily. Are you understanding that? That's why we're part of the body of Christ now. Because we're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Now, we all believe that. We're the body of Christ. Okay, we got to believe what we're saying here now. And we got to understand it. So you're a body, soul, spirit. You have a spirit. If it leaves this tabernacle here, it goes back to the dust. But it's to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So is there a person that's present with the Lord and another person down here in the dirt? No. Well, I know this, that when Jesus... You know that He spoke about the Father in heaven. And I know that when Stephen was being stoned to death, he looked up towards heaven. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. So he said, I know there's two because of that. Well, I got some more scripture for you then. When they got up to the throne of God, there was only one throne. It didn't say three. If there's three persons, we need three thrones. But there's one throne, the Bible says. One God and one faith. So what is the right hand? You see, when he's speaking about a father and a son, he's bringing it into an intellectual concept that you could get a concept and understand an invisible God. So we got to understand body, soul, and spirit. I've got a body, soul, spirit, but I'm one person. My spirit leaves this body. The Bible talks about the saving of the soul. My Bible teaches me that I'm not accountable to the sin of this flesh. That's what the Bible says. It won't be laid to my charge, the sin of this flesh, because Jesus died for that at Calvary. But it's the soul. Now we're seeking after the saving of the soul. So we have a body and a soul and a spirit. The Bible said present your body, your soul, and your spirit. That's what it says. I had a preacher the other day. He says, well, God just looks on the heart. I said, you're wrong, sir. And he got mad. I said, who's been lying to you? He said, that's what the Bible says. And I said, the Bible said that man's heart's continually evil and wicked and divisive, and a man doesn't know his own heart. So if God's looking on your heart, you're in trouble. I'm just telling you the scriptures now. We better get real with God. And we better wake up. And we better get out of the religious vomit. The Bible said vomit on the tables. Amen. And it's talking about this religion. The Bible said the Laodicean day church in this day and hour that you're in. It said it's blind and it's miserable and it's naked. Amen. They don't have the wedding garment on. They're not born of God. They got hirelings. Amen. The Bible said the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light. And they're trying to deceive the very elect. It's impossible. But America's walking in deception. Africa's walking in deception. Romania's walking in deception. I've been to these places and there's doctrines of devils that are being taught. And we better get in the Word. We better wake up and start preaching the same thing that Jesus Christ preached. He said, if you preach any other doctrine than what Jesus preached, he said, let them be accursed. Let's get in the Word. Let's get in the Scriptures. Let's get in the Word. And let's let Jesus be the high priest of our profession. And let's start professing who we are. Start knowing who you are. Quit walking in the weakness of flesh. And start walking in the Spirit of God. It's getting close, saints. We better start changing our profession. We better start speaking like children of God. We better start walking like sons of God. Let's quit playing religious games. There's too many people that are hitting the altars and crying and going right back off in their sin. The Bible said, you know, the preacher's called of God because he turns people away from sin. How does he do that? He preaches against it. You preach against sodomy. You preach against drunkenness. You preach against idolatry and fornication. You preach against shacking up. And they don't like it. But we're not supposed to be popular. We're not looking for favoritism. The Bible said they hated him first and they'll hate you also. The preachers now want to be pretty boys. They want to walk around and rub elbows with the elite. They want to get out on the golf courses and play golf with the pretty boys. A bunch of devils is all it is. We need to get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and preach the gospel uncompromised of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn people away from sin. We better start getting real with God. We're living in a nation of corruption and we're living amongst the people in darkness, and we're supposed to be the light of the world. Let's don't form in. Let's don't blend in. Let's don't look like them. Let's don't talk like them. Let's don't act like them. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Bible said it's a small flock. Few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it in. He said, if this is what I'll do to my own son, he beat him beyond recognition. He said, if this is what I'll do to my own son, what do you think I'm going to do to the ungodly and the sinner? Got a small taste over here in New Orleans. That was God. Bible says evil can't come to the city lest I send it, saith the Lord. That was the Lord that sent that storm in there to wake them up. They were putting their faggots and queers on the streets and they said they were going to do their sexual perversions in public. God said, no, I'm sick of it. It was the Lord that put that Muslim man flying that airplane right into the towers down there of the strength and the power of America. It was God. Get your Bibles. He teaches that. Amen. See, people don't want to hear that. Evil cannot come lest I send it, saith the Lord. That's what he says. It's just a wake-up call. America, wake up! Wake up, America! Repent of your sins. Humble yourself and call upon the Lord, for I can heal your land. America, the grace of God is departing. It's departing America. You say, but this is the promised land. So was Israel. It was the promised land too. It's another dimension. It's run all the way, of course, around again. You understand that? You see, you got to start understanding the Bible. The Bible says the unseen things of the spiritual world are revealed to us by the things which do appear. You understand that? When you read that Bible, you better start saying, wait a minute, what are you saying here? What's going on, Lord God, in this word? We read it shallow. We need to get in the word. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. You say, yeah, I understand that. What was he talking about? He's talking about you. Amen. You're the world. You're the earth. And you was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of your deep. And the Spirit of God has to move over you and speak light into you or you're lost in darkness. You'll be numbered with the children of darkness. You say, well, that was talking about the creation of this world. But it's also talking about another creation. The Bible says the unseen things of the spirit world are speaking by the things which appear. We start understanding God. We see Moses leading the people out of Egypt. Egypt showing this place of darkness. Bondage, corruption, and they go out into a wilderness, then they come over to Canaan land, 40 years in a wilderness. What was it showing? It was showing your life. A lot of people come through the blood, and the whole world has. He shed his blood for all. They come through the blood, but if you read in your Bibles, this was the elect of God in the wilderness. It said that the earth opened up because of their murmuring and complaining against God and swallowed up thousands of them. They all didn't make it into Canaan land. Amen. Only two of the elders that come out of Egypt came into Canaan. Only two! Wake up, America! Wake up, church! You're talking about this great merciful God that you're serving? He flooded the whole world and eight of them get in a boat. Brothers and sisters, it's not like people think. He says, small flock, few be there that find it. And the righteous scarcely make it. Are you trying to scare us, preacher? I'm trying to get you to wake up to see a lost nation that you're in. We're walking around saying we're the promised land. We're the chosen people. Americans are arrogant and they're haughty. And we become a form of godliness denying the power of God.
And we walk around with our big prestigious churches and our television programs and our limousines, and we strut around and we're lost. We got our Joel Osteens with 45,000 people, and all the ministers are looking at us saying, "Oh, I want to be like that." You want 45,000 people chewing on you in hell? Joel Osteen needs to get born again. You say, "You can't say that, I'm called to judge." If you're taught in a church of doctrine that you can't judge, you've been taught doctrines of devils. My Bible said, "Ye that are spiritual, judge all things." And the Bible said, "Judgment begins in the house of God." I'm called to preach against sin. And the Bible said, you know, they're called of God because they turn people from sin. Joel Osteen says, "Hey, man, God's mercy, God's love. He thinks there's more than one way. He don't believe that Jesus is the only way. He don't preach against Muslims. The Muslim original puts you into eternal damnation. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the door. There's no other entrance into the kingdom of God except by Him and Him alone. And if somebody's preaching any other doctrine than that, let them be accursed." So I'm not speaking against God's man. I'm speaking against somebody that's accursed. You're Billy Graham. He said that he don't believe that you have to believe in a virgin birth. Let him be accursed. He don't believe in angels. Let it be accursed. He wrote a book about it, and he said later he don't believe it. Because he went to doctors of men. He went over there with the Pope. Bowed down and kissed his ring finger. Son of God won't do that. Amen. Pray for Billy Graham. He needs to get born again. Oh, he's the greatest preacher of America. I'm just showing you the bad condition that it's in. You say, "Man, you can't speak like this, preacher." Well, correct me then. Help me. Pray for me. I preach the gospel and preach the word. I have a fear of the Lord. I wouldn't speak against God's elect. I pray for Billy Graham. I hope that the man will get born again. The Bible said two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And if you walk with the Pope, that means you're in agreement with him. And the Bible said you'll receive the same reward with him. The Bible said you give a prophet a glass of water and you'll be partakers with his reward. Is that right? That's what it says. You say, "Well, man, don't come against everybody." I won't come against Jesus. Be one with him. Get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd never speak against the anointed of God or the elect of God. I pray that Joel Osteen will get his eyes open and get born again. When he gets his eyes open, he'll start preaching against sin. And when you start preaching against sin, you won't hold no church of 45,000. Let me tell you this. How many of them 45,000 people you think are shacked up? How many of them you think are living together? How many faggots and queers you think are in there? How many lesbians you think are in that church? If you got 45,000, I'm going to take you out some. Well, Jesus had 12 and one was a devil. I say, "You ain't amen, I know that." But the devil heard about it when he was under him too. He said, "Take of this sop." He knew. Let me tell you something. When the devil comes to this church, he knows he's here. Because I know he's here and I preach right down his throat.
Amen.
That's what I'm supposed to do, isn't it?
Amen.
What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter got his eyes open, didn't he? He said, "Who does men say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the living Son of God." Well, praise God, Peter. You know, that was revealed to you from heaven, son. That didn't come from man. That was revealed to you from the Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus told Peter when he said that. But just a few minutes later, go look it up in your scriptures. Just a couple minutes later, the very same day, oh, Peter, boy, he got lifted up there just a little bit. Hey, boy, you hear that? I heard from heaven. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Jesus looked at him. He said, "Get ye behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of the flesh." Whoa. So he gave Satan the keys to the kingdom? No. This is why you got to make yourself twain. Both Lord and Christ. Both Son of Man, Son of God. He took the image of the beast, the image of man, the sinful image of flesh. He took it to the cross of Calvary, had it smitten, and he said, "Don't know him after the flesh no more." We know him in the resurrection. So what do we do with this flesh? We crucify it with Christ. Daily we take up our cross. Daily we catch ourselves away into heavenly places. Daily we mortify. Daily we die. Daily we kill. We're not supposed to savor this flesh. We're supposed to crucify it.
Amen.
Are you understanding? So you got to make yourself twain. You got to kill the man out and let Christ live. Surrender your members to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. Let's get real with God.
Amen.
Let's get out of the religious ideas and religious nonsense. I love you and appreciate you. I wish I could go on. I didn't even get to where I wanted to go here. Where was you going?
Well, I was already there, but I was hoping to catch you up there with me. I love you and appreciate you. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at him if you want to get mad at somebody. I just try to yield to him. He makes me say things that I don't want to say. Surely not. He does. He's told me to go places I didn't want to go. Lord, it's hot down there. Get down there, boy. They don't like me down there, Lord. Go anyway. If you find a preacher only goes where he wants to go, he ain't worth the count. I'm telling you, I'm a servant of the Lord, and I go where he says to go. I say what he says to say. I do what he says to do. And guess what? It's a crucified way. He's told me to expect one thing: persecution, tribulation, suffering. He said, equip yourself with the mind to suffer. He said, they hated me first, they'll hate you also. So if you're a son of God and everybody likes you, you better check up. Because when you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're not going to like it. And your enemy isn't going to be adulterers and the fornicators. It's going to be the religious people. They're the ones who crucified Jesus. You say, oh no, Brother Rob, it was the Romans that done it. No, it was the religious people, the Sanhedrin standing before them and screaming out, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas and take this Jesus and crucify him. The Romans yielded to him because there was an uproar and they were trying to keep a peace. But even the Romans said, hey, I'm washing my hands. His blood ain't going to be on my hands. But the Jews said, let it be on our heads and our children and our children's children. I wonder if they were remembering that echo that came out of their mouth when 6 million of them were burned and killed over there in World War II. When they said, let his blood be on our heads. 6 million burned, buried alive. What do you think America's got coming with their doctrines of abortion killing babies? And their queers and their homos and they're putting them into office. We got a president right now that professes to be a Muslim as well as a Christian. He says they're equal. Stood before the people and said, this is no longer a Christian nation. He's right. It isn't. He said the truth. Sad. It's sad. Not the skin color of the man in office. What's sad is the ideology in the mind. There's many black men that are full of the Holy Ghost and are full of life that would make wonderful presidents, could lead this nation out of corruption. But they chose the wrong one. They should have found a man with the spirit of truth. You say, well, now you're speaking against dignitaries. The Bible said don't speak against a dignitary. You better get back in your Bible and read it and find out what a dignitary is. Dignitaries got dignity. And the only way you can have that is by believing in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Anything outside of that is carnal and it's death and it's enmity with God. I respect the president. I respect their office. And we live by their laws while we're here. But we're not of the world. I'm not here to defend Obama. I'm not here to defend Bush. I'm not here to defend whoever they are. I'm not of this world. I'm not voting them in, nor am I voting them out. I'm not here for that. I'm here to preach the good news of the gospel. I'm here to tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not about this worldly things. Yes, we should pray for the leaders. Yes, we should pray for them. But brothers and sisters, we've lost America. We've lost the education system in America. The colleges are perverted. The school systems are perverted. They're preaching doctrines of devils. They're teaching sodomy. They're teaching it's an alternate lifestyle. We've lost the education system. We've lost the medical practice in our world. They take a woman in. She comes in with a cold and they say, strip your clothes off. Where's decency? So you don't understand that. But I'm just telling you this because the guy's got some doggone little certificate that he went to school for 6 years. You want him to strip it off your wife? Let her go to a woman doctor. There's no dignity left. There's no holiness left. We're in a corrupt nation. They used to use midwives to bring children into the world. Read your Bibles. You go to the hospitals and say, I want a woman doctor. I want a midwife with my wife. If she happens to be off that day, you know, such and such is coming in. And then you go and deliver your own children at home and then they want to throw you in jail for it. We're in a corrupt nation, a corrupt people. They're taking all of our rights away from us and making us get in their corruption. Saying college education, go to college, more college. They send the preachers to college and they get them in their theological institutions and start teaching them doctrines of devils. And they need to get in some neology. They need to get before the Lord. They need to pray to God and say, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Grant me the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, Lord God. Let me walk in the wisdom of God. Open up my mind. Open up my understanding. Let me preach
under the jurisdiction of heaven. Let me be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's stand together. I'll preach till midnight. I like to preach. Praise God. Preached on the radio for several years. They threw me off. I didn't like it. I challenged them on the radio. I said, somebody please show me in the scriptures one place where I've got out of the will of God or the word of God. I had a preacher call me up and say, you ain't nothing but the devil. And I said, I love you. And I said, you stood on my platform and you prophesied that I was a man of God. And now you're saying that I'm the devil. And I said, I'm going to give you my sacred desk. I want you to come over here to this church. I want you to explain to the brethren and the sisters there that you prophesied and said I was a man of God. Because if I'm not a man of God and you prophesied that, you're in trouble. And I said, I want you to come over there and explain to these people why I'm of the devil and where I'm at in the scriptures. If you can show me in the Bible I'm wrong, I'll repent and I'll fall on my face before the living God. But I said, please come back. He wouldn't come. I pleaded with him. He wouldn't come. And then when I perceived that he wasn't going to come, I exposed the doctrines of devils that he walked in. And he called himself a Pentecostal preacher. But he was in doctrines of devils. We better get in the Word and the Scriptures and find out there's a lot of false doctrine going in America. It's like the brother that came over here from Africa and he said, God sent me over here now to win you people to God. I received the reproof from the African preacher because he was right. He'd been before the Lord and he said, America has fallen away from the grace of God. It's an individual thing. It's a personal thing, your relationship with God. You could live in a nation that might perish, but you could be hid away in Christ. But brothers and sisters, we better be careful where we got our hope at and our trust, and it best be in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Don't put it in man. No confidence in the flesh. Put it in Jesus and Him alone. Let Him be your God, your Lord, your King. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God, Emmanuel, God with us. There is no other God. It's Him and Him alone. Amen. Hallelujah. When Philip came to him and he said, Jesus, when will we see the Father? And Jesus replied to him and he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? He said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. That's what he said. Now, is Jesus a liar or is he telling the truth? He's the truth. He's the Spirit of truth. And he can't lie. He is the truth. So was he the Father? Well, the Bible says one God, one faith, one baptism. But we teach water, blood, and spirit baptism. We preach Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. How do you say one God? Because we differentiate the one God into a Father, Spirit, invisible, no man has seen. It come and dwelled within a fleshly tabernacle that mankind can see and understand and comprehend. Jesus was the expressed image. So now we had the Father. If the Father wasn't in him, there would have been no life there. You remove the spirit of the Father, and the body does what? It dies. That's what happened on the cross of Calvary. And then it came back and redeemed it. And when it took that spirit, and when he pulled that fleshly part out of the ground and filled it, it was the ghost. Why was it the ghost and not the spirit then? Because a ghost is something that had been personified in a person. You see, if your grandmother's spirit came into this room, you'd say, that's my grandma's ghost. Why do you know it's your grandma's ghost? Because you've seen it operating in grandma. You saw her walk. You saw her talk. You saw her cook. You saw her eat. I saw God walk. I saw him talk. I saw him eat. I saw him walk among men. And when that spirit came out, it was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Where's it at now? It's living in me.
Amen. Amen.
The same spirit that dwelt within Jesus Christ, the Bible says, will dwell within your mortal bodies.
Amen.
It'll change you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
He's here, he's alive, and he's well. Amen. He's in me and he's in you when you're a son of God. Let's give the Lord a hand, amen. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Yes, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. The devil had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel like I've been to church tonight.
So
amen.
Glad Jesus set me free.
Thank you, Lord.
So
we love you, Lord
glad
Jesus.
Jesus set me free. I'm so
thank
glad
you, Lord. Are you glad He lifted you up out of sin?
I'm so glad.
Are you so glad
Jesus set me free?
That He lifted you out of the mire and the clay, set you apart.
Jesus set
hallelujah.
Me free.
Put you on a rock
Satan
to stand.
Had me bound, but Jesus
thank you, Lord Jesus.
Free.
We love you, Lord, and we praise your wonderful
bound,
name. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for salvation.
Satan
thank you for filling me
bound,
with your Holy Ghost and your power. Oh, Lord God, strengthen
free
us. Help
glory,
us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus set me free.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, I'm so glad.
The altars are open. We're not going to tarry
Jesus
long. We're going to go downstairs. Fellowship.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, I'd like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.